Listen to today's Ross Report for all the updates and a rookie minicamp preview. You're listening to the Ross Report Podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. I'm Lori Baranski, and thank God it's Friday here at Gillette Stadium, because tomorrow marks the first day of rookie minicamp, and you're going to get a full preview on this podcast, as well as an update on who has been added to the roster. So let's hand it over to Brian Lowe, Tom Casale, and Paul Perillo for the latest.
Okay, thanks once again, Laurie. We are indeed here for Patriots Roster Report. It's Friday, May 12th, joined by Paul Perillo and Tom Casale. I'm Brian Lowe. Andy Hart, not with us today. Quite a loss for this program, I think
we'll be able to get by.
I think we might be able to get by. Hopefully, he'll be back with us next time around. Well, we are one day removed from the Patriots' annual rookie minicamp. That is this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, here at Gillette Stadium. There are 25 players plus. We expect there to be some trialists, guys who are not officially signed, but who will probably be here. So probably looking at about 30 players overall. And, hey, guys like Randall Gay and Mike Wright in the past have been undrafted free agents, signed after the draft and make the team and even make some impact. So, guys, what do you think is, what should we be looking for this weekend, whether it be from the draft picks, from the guys they signed this week? What can be taken out of this weekend?
Well, it's hard to take a lot strictly on the field, what kind of talent guys have, but, there's no equipment. There's no real, it's very basic plays, very basic structure. But you can see, skill position guys. You can see how quick, how fast they are. Receivers, you're seeing them catch the ball. Running backs, you're seeing them catch the ball. The ball's getting thrown and caught, basically. We have a rookie kicker is among this group. Uh-huh. Obviously you don't need full-blown training camp to assess whether or not the guy has a strong leg and if he's making, if he's putting the ball through the uprights. So there are some things tangibly that you can tell, and other things, with a lineman, for example, you might be able to see, well, that's a really big guy, but he has quick feet as he's moving around, stuff like that. Not a lot in terms of strict evaluation that you're gonna. They're gonna talk about how this is teaching and not evaluation, and it's true.
And the thing is, too, we'll get a chance to meet some of these guys in the locker room, interview them, and kind of see what their personalities are like. It should be said that you do maybe get a sense of, are these Patriot type of guys, Belichick type of guys? Sometimes you can get a sense of their attitude, the way they interact with their teammates, and even that might give you some clues as to whether or not they could be potential Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to be interested to watch Bramlett, the quarterback, because it was reported they gave him a 3-year deal when most of the guys got 2-year deals. I thought that was interesting. So he could be a guy they're looking for on the practice squad. So I'll be interested to see how he throws the ball, and also the outside linebacker / defensive end position, see if anyone shows any speed off the ball, any quickness out of those guys.
Right.
That's an interesting point that Tom brought up, because several of these guys got 2-year deals and a couple of them got 3-year deals. I can't for the life of me figure out why, because it doesn't really do you any, you don't get any more out of that, because if they all signed 1-year deals and they all had a chance to make the team, they can't go anywhere after the end of that year. Much like Gus Scott,
right? Randall Gay,
they were 1-year contract guys. They're exclusive rights free agents. They can't go anywhere unless the Patriots waive them. They have total control. So I really don't understand why they would get a 3-year deal. I can't imagine that any of these guys got anything significant in terms of a signing bonus. So it's not like you'd be able to prorate it anyway, and then even if you have a 3-year deal and you're prorating it, if you cut the guy, it all goes on at once anyway. So, I mean, it's an interesting point that Tom brings up, because Bramlett was one of the, I think there was a handful of guys that got 3-year deals, and a majority of them got 2-year deals. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it might be something I want to ask Coach Belichick about over the weekend.
Sure
thing.
He says. And just to quickly go through, they signed 15 guys, and I just want to go through them real quick and sort of break it down by position. Just if you do it alphabetically, you don't quite get a sense of who they have. Offensively, quarterback Corey Bramlett, who Tom brought up out of Wyoming, he's the lone quarterback that they've brought in, whether it be via the draft or free agency this year. And they don't have a ton of depth on the quarterback roster, so maybe they do look at this guy as a developmental guy. A couple of wide receivers, Eric Davis out of Vanderbilt, of course, caught passes from Jay Cutler at Vanderbilt, and Matt Shelton out of Notre Dame, and then lineman Brian Barthelmes out of Virginia, a center, and tackle Randy Hand out of Florida. 5 guys total out of Florida between the draft and free agency. And then on the defensive side, As far as linemen, Remy Adel, nose tackle out of Oklahoma, and defensive end Kadir Drame out of Syracuse. A couple of linebackers, and this is always an interesting position to look at, from Notre Dame, Corey Mays, and then Alabama's Freddie Roach, who had been a fairly highly rated linebacker a couple months ago in the draft process, slipped out of the draft entirely. And then, of course, the defensive backfield, always looking at cornerback Vernell Brown out of Florida and a teammate of his, safety Jarvis Herring, safety out of Toledo, Keon Jackson, safety out of Delaware State, Sam Smith, and a Buffalo cornerback, Jamara Williams. So the breakdown, 5 offensive players, 10 defensive players, sort of the reverse of what they did in the draft. So that's 25 guys overall, and probably another 5 to 7 guys trying out will be on hand this weekend.
Yeah, the one guy that interests me is that Sam Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know much about him.
Safety.
Yep. But he played a linebacker at Delaware State, too. So he's got some versatility. I was just reading a little bit about him. He seems like the type of guy that the Patriots would be interested in. Versatile player, tough player, plays the run well, can play the pass. So that's one guy I don't know too much about right now who I'll be looking at during camp.
And you never, you know, you can't read a ton into these guys, but sometimes you can read into what positions they go after in these, you know, undrafted free agent guys. You can look at certainly what schools they come out of, because out of these 15, you got 3 from Florida, 2 from Notre Dame, 1 from Virginia, clear ties between Bill Belichick and the coaches at these schools. So obviously these are guys that Belichick has had on his radar screen and probably hoping that he'd get a chance to sign them up in the post-draft process. And he is. I don't know if I mentioned Pierre Woods, also a linebacker out of Michigan. I think I accidentally left him off.
Woods is an interesting guy, too, that you left off. You know, Tom was actually telling me a little bit about him. He's another one of those guys like Mincy, the draft pick out of Florida, Jeremy Mincy, kind of a, you know, a hybrid trying to make that move to outside linebacker. And he's got good size, too, 6'5". He's a big kid, played at Michigan, obviously, big-time pedigree there. So might be another guy to keep an eye on.
And, of course, we're looking at all these guys, you're looking at special teams. I mean, probably with the exception of I guess, the quarterback and the nose tackle, or maybe even the nose tackle.
Any offensive lineman.
Right, any of these guys that make this team, they're probably, I only say probably because Randall Gay obviously started in the Super Bowl at cornerback, but a lot of these guys, if they make the team, you're looking at special teams guys. And, you know, even you got Vernell Brown out of Florida, who was a punt returner, and then plenty of others who were on coverage and everything like that. So no question that's where these guys will be, what we'll be looking at. Obviously, we won't know too much about that until training camp this week. They're just going against each other. A month from now, when they have the full mini camp with the rest of the teammates, you know, they'll be completely overlooked at that time, but then we'll start weeding through.
And out of the guys, you know, those 15 or so players that you mentioned, the undrafted free agents, I mean, probably maybe 1-2 at the most would make the team. So that's the interesting thing about watching camp is you can kind of get a feel of maybe who those guys are going to be after you see them a couple times in camp.
Yeah, and one thing, too, Brian, I wanted to mention, you talked about all those Florida guys. There's 5 of them. And I talked, and I mentioned this a little bit on PFW in Progress, but I talked to Greg Madison, who is the defensive coordinator for, co-defensive coordinator for Florida, and also the defensive line coach. And he said, you know, I asked him, I said, so we got quite a few of you guys coming up here. And he said, and really, you're getting the face of the Florida program.
You know, I saw that somewhere.
This is the leadership, basically what we have.
Vernell Brown,
Jarvis Herring. Mincy, guys were widely recognized as being the core group of that senior class last year. Basically, they were really struggling, and Tom will probably know more about this than I would. Florida got really pasted by, I think, Alabama, 31-3, something like
destroyed.
That. And really, the season was slipping away. They were having a very un-Florida-like season, and it was guys like Brown and Mincy that really stepped up, and they kind of said, you know, look, this is what we need to do, and you know, you guys are either going to be part of the solution here. And they were the ones, and they have this Florida leadership committee that Urban Meyer instituted when he came in last year. This was like 4 of these 5 guys were on this committee as a self-disciplining group, kind of like the way the Patriots captains do it now. These were the guys there, Mincy, Vernell Brown, Jarvis Herring. These were the guys that were involved in
and
that.
What's interesting is the guy that you didn't bring up is Chad Jackson, who the Patriots took in the second round.
He was in that.
Well, because he even admitted that early on in the season, the first year under Urban Meyer, that he was really,
said
you
he
know,
was lazy.
Laziness wasn't really there. So it's interesting that the second round pick of the Patriots, wide receiver, extraordinarily talented guy, and a guy who seems like he sort of adjusted his attitude as the year went on. He's the one who was in the second round, but all these other guys who sort of fly under the radar draft-wise around the league are the guys that the Belichick's bringing in, and clearly they're the unheralded guys, the guys who are going to work hard, and hey, we'll see if one or two of these guys ends up making the team. And of course, you can't forget the 8-man practice squad, and you know, the practice squad is generally loaded with these types of players. Now, just going back a little bit to Corey Bramlett, and you brought him up as an intriguing guy. Had, you know, his stats last year, I didn't see any Wyoming games. I don't know if you guys did. He had 16 touchdowns, 18 interceptions.
Yeah.
And you see that on the surface, and you're like, well, how did this guy possibly stand out? But then you say to yourself, well, how did Matt Cassel possibly stand out? And you say, hey, you give the Patriots scouting department, you know, the benefit of the doubt. Hey, they saw something worth bringing him in.
Well, and you hit on the key word is developmental. I don't think anyone's expecting Bramlett to come in here and compete for the backup job right away. This is a guy they may see as 2 or 3 years down the road with his physical abilities can be a player for them. And that the key word there is developmental. You know, he's someone that maybe they see some things in that they can coach up and be a factor 2 or 3 years down the road.
Yeah, right. You know, and as strange as it seems, Brian, I think actually Cassel, having not played,
helped him.
Yeah, I mean, I think he
see his flaws.
He was more impressive on paper than Bramlett.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Because
right.
He didn't have the, you know, the mistakes on paper to point to.
Similar touchdown interception ratio. I think he was 0-1. So
you know, does he have it? You know, he has all this raw ability, yeah. And we just don't know if it's worth, you know, tapping into with Cassel. Whereas Bramlett, he might have some ability, but when he's played, he hasn't been overly productive.
And the Patriots quarterback situation right now in general is sort of, I'm not going to say in flux when Tom Brady is your number one guy. It's certainly not in flux. But on the roster right now is Brady, Matt Cassel, Todd Mortensen, who's out in Europe, and now Corey Bramlett. Doug Flutie is an unrestricted free agent. We've got to imagine that a veteran free agent, and it's slim pickings, but we've got to imagine a veteran free agent will be brought in. But the 2 and 3 spots could almost be looked at as open, you know, open for business. Matt Cassel, certainly a lock to be on the roster.
I would think.
You've got to think. But, you know, a guy like Corey Bramlett could make a dent. I mean, you never know. So the quarterback situation is interesting. Now, what we also should talk about is the Patriots signed these 15 undrafted free agents. They also signed 2 veteran linebackers this week, Barry Gardner and Jeremy Lloyd. That's Lloyd. There's
good
only
job.
One L.
Just, good job.
Just for the record. Whether or not he ever has a Patriots uniform with his last name on it, I guess we don't know. I mean,
he doesn't even have him getting into the preseason, Tom.
He's got 14 games under his belt over 3 years. I mean, hey, let's face it.
Has never recorded a defensive tackle.
Never recorded a defensive tackle. But Barry Gardner has been in the league 7, 8 years.
8 years.
8 years with Philadelphia, Cleveland, and the Jets. Mm-hmm. He's put together a fairly respectable career, and he's also been fairly durable. I think there's only 1 year that he didn't play 16 games.
Yeah, he has 20 some odd starts under his belt too, so it's not like he's never played. And Tom made the point to me. I'm trying to speak a little bit for Tom because I don't know if you could tell he's a little less than 100%.
Tom can talk. So when Tom's
after getting his wisdom
profile.
Teeth pulled this week, he's a little bit less than 100%. That's why he missed PFW practice this week.
Is that right?
But Tom was telling me the original Jeremiah Trotter departure in Philadelphia, which back in what I don't know 99 2000. Maybe later than that, 2001?
I think it was 2001.
Okay, somewhere in that area when he first left the first time as a free agent, Barry Gardner was the guy that they kind of hoped would step in and fill the shoes. You know, Philadelphia has that value thing the Patriots try to do. They try not to put too much of an emphasis on any of their guys. They let them walk. They let Trotter walk with the hopes that Gardner would fill in, and evidently it didn't go great. He had some, you know, started, as you said, Brian, it was a durable guy. He started all the games that year. But I guess they were clearly lacking, and they have eventually brought Trotter back. But this is a guy, it's almost like Beisel and Mallard from last year, in that you have Gardner is, you know, has some experience. Beisel didn't have quite as much experience as Gardner does, but Mallard was that, you know, had been around for 2 or 3 years with the Giants, strictly a special teams guy, and they waived him. I mean, he was like an exclusive rights guy that they had, you know. Oh, they could have done anything they wanted to keep him. He couldn't go anywhere. Same thing with Lloyd here. They could keep him for nothing, basically. Exclusive rights guy, they chose to let him go. He's played parts of 3 different seasons, but he only has 2 accrued seasons. And
I mean,
he's another one of these guys. This is where I have to think that the Patriots are trying to prepare themselves to have enough special teams guys like Mel Mitchell, maybe Tabucky Jones, along with Izzo and Davis and those guys that we've come to know. Mm-hmm. I think right now they have to be looking at it as we have to go into this season with a plan to not have Teddy Bruschi, Rodney Harrison, Eugene Wilson, Mike Vrabel. We got to get these guys off of special teams.
Right.
Because as much as it served us well in the past, we're just not deep enough at those positions to be able to withstand that extra workload. And I'm not saying it's if he gets hurt on special teams. I'm saying they don't have enough depth to have these guys play this amount of plays. In the past, you know, Vrabel especially was in a three-man rotation on the outside with McGinnis and Colvin. So if he's playing special teams, his number of snaps is the same.
Right.
Now, they're playing so much. I think they have to try to limit that playing time.
Of course, an NFL coach can still only go to a game with 45 guys, so it really limits the number of guys that you can bring
Bill.
To a game that are only special teams. But you're absolutely right. You can't keep having these guys who are now in their 30s or getting close to it playing all these snaps, especially if they're your regular defensive players and your guys.
Like Bruschi, that first game back, we all remember the Sunday night movie of the week on ESPN with the Teddy Bruschi story. Remember all those snaps he played that night? It was just an unbelievable, unfathomable workload that he took. Almost every snap on defense, plus a vast majority of them on special teams. He was over 70 snaps in that game. Yeah. They can't want that again.
No.
They can't want that situation to
unfold. Should
have
done it the first time.
No, I think if you ask Bill, I think he would probably admit that may have been an error.
Well, this weekend will provide us a bit of a glimpse into the future, whether it be the immediate future or the not too distant future or the deep future. We don't know, but the guys like Lawrence Maroney, Chad Jackson, all the draft picks, and all the guys like Freddie Roach, Remy Adel, and Kadir Drame. We'll get to see all these guys here.
Someone used their pronunciation guide this week.
You're absolutely right, I did. We'll get to see them all in action. The Patriots rookie minicamp Saturday and Sunday. It's not open to the public. Training camp, once we get to July or August, will be, but rest assured, Patriots.com, Patriots Football Weekly, we'll all be on hand. We'll be covering this from beginning to end. Check out Patriots.com for articles each day, and Patriots Today on Monday, Patriots Video News on Monday, and then Patriots Football Weekly, the next one that comes out, I take it, early June.
Correct.
So for Paul Perillo and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Patriots Roster Report. Let's send it now back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. The Patriots should also have a new roster after last week's audition. Congratulations to the 2006 squad. And remember to visit the Pro Shop through the month of May for their spring clearance. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!